everybody. This is the Hallmarkies podcast, and we're so excited to bring you another interview with one of our Hallmark actors. Giles Panton is here, and we're so excited to talk with him. Hi, Rachel, and Amber's here.
Hi, everybody.
And Giles, thank you so much for coming on and talking with us.
A pleasure to be here. Thanks for bringing me on. It's fun. We became like Twitter friends, and now we're doing this.
Yeah, the best kind of friendships, right? So what we like to do is to ask our guests to introduce themselves and let us know what inspired you to become an actor.
Okay. Well, my name's Giles Panton. and you know, that's such an interesting question. Like, there's probably a ton of different moments. I would say I didn't know I wanted to be an actor until college. That's when it fell on my lap. But the moment I think I was maybe like secretly brought into it was when I was a little kid. Do you guys remember the Ernest movies? Like Ernest Goes to Camp, Ernest Scares Stupid, all those things. So my dad and I, we were going to go watch Ernest Goes to Camp, and we missed the movie by like 10 minutes. And it was a small little two theater place. And the only other movie playing was The Hunt for Red October. And my dad, it was starting in like 15 minutes. And so my dad turned to me and he said, "Don't tell your mom." And I'm like, "No, don't worry." I was probably 8. And so we went and watched The Hunt for Red October. And that was the first like serious movie I'd ever seen. And it impacted me so much that I think that without me knowing it, that was the moment I became an actor.
Nice. So yeah, your dad breaking the rules.
But I mean, a Sean Connery movie in general is safe for any child.
Yeah.
Is that true?
I don't think so. I don't think it is.
That's really, really funny. Well, cool. That's great. Did you grow up in Canada, or where's your?
I did. Yeah. I grew up. I'm one of the few who actually grew up in Vancouver. Vancouver is like Canada's LA, where everyone is from everywhere else. But I was literally born in downtown Vancouver and I grew up here.
Ah, so you're an OG from Vancouver.
I'm an OG, though my family is also from the Caribbean. So I spent a lot of time going back and forth.
You've got the perfect combination of winter and summer weather.
Oh, yeah, I definitely did. Yeah. Definitely did.
That's the life. Well, really cool. So I noticed in looking at your IMDb that you have done a lot of voice work, and everybody knows, listen to the podcast, that my first love is animation. So I had to ask you about your process for creating a voice and what you like about the different animated projects that you've been able to work on.
Oh, a cartoon, animation, all the above are so much fun. My process, it depends. I mean, like my neighbors must think crazy stuff is going on in here because when I audition for Monsters, I like rant and rave as I'm figuring out the character. Uh-huh. As I do whatever it might be. I mean, it's just a lot of noise, I would say. I built the sound studio at home that's soundproof, so I won't horrify anyone walking by.
Do you have it in your closet? I've heard a lot of voice actors, they do it in their closet.
I literally built the sound studio. I ordered in a soundproof booth so that it's full. It's pretty legit, as they say somewhere.
That's really cool. So your most recent project, you were in Friendship is Magic. So that's fun.
Yeah, My Little Pony.
Yeah.
I have to say that was a weird kind of milestone moment for me when I got to be a pony. His name's Flash Magnus, and I choked on some water. That's how excited I am. Flash Magnus, and he's a pretty tough pony as they come.
Well, I mean, with a name like Flash Magnus, he's not going to be a wimp.
Flash Magnus. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I also have a couple leads on Netflix right now. There's another one, King Kong, there's another one that I can't quite talk about yet, but lots of fun stuff.
Yeah, Kong, King of the Apes. And you've done some anime.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, which is amazing.
It's wild. I mean, it's my, I mean, that one's not for the kids. My character's introduction is him chopping someone's head off. So it's a bit rough.
Yeah. Do you listen to, when you're doing an anime dub, do you listen to the Japanese and, or do you just do your total own thing in getting the voice?
Sometimes. Yeah. In general, I mean, it's very interesting because the performance that they ask in English isn't always the same as the performance that they ask for in Japanese.
Yeah.
So it's good for kind of a guideline, but it's always different when you get in the room.
Uh-huh.
And that's kind of the versatility of dubbing is with, especially with a cartoon, is you can make slight tweaks.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so cool. Oh, love it.
Yeah.
Great. Well, all great right. Stuff. Well, I will get back to talking about Homer.
Yeah, sorry, I had nothing to contribute because, like,
I will say, I will say, the moment I got my first action figure from a cartoon was like, what? And I have a closet full of Lego toys that I bought from my from the Lego series that I did. I got every single one I could. those are kind of cool. Yeah.
And well, and you did Max Steel. With Andrew Francis, so.
Andrew Francis. In fact, my first cartoon ever with Andrew Francis. Me and him have worked together a lot, so.
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
part of the gang.
Yeah, that's part
probably
of the.
Rachel thinks you two are her favorites. You both do a lot of voice work.
Yeah, Andrew Francis won my heart not only from Chesapeake Shores, but he's also in my favorite Christmas movie, and he's an incredible voice actor. So, it's pretty exciting. But you, I was really excited when I looked at your IMDb. I'm like, oh, he's in that, and he's in that, and he's in that. This is so cool. But you're also in like a million Hallmark movies, so this could be.
Yeah, I know. It's been pretty impressive so far. I'm really, I don't know. I'm honored actually. It's such a cool team to be a part of.
Yeah, it's really fun. And so, all right. So your first role for Hallmark was in A Ring by Spring.
That one was so cute.
Ring by Spring was with Rachel Boston.
It was really, it's really good. I love it. And 2014, yeah, it had a pretty strong start for Hallmark because you were in A Ring by Spring, Science Sealed Delivered, Dark of Night, and Nine Lives of Christmas, which are all three stellar. I think. Yeah.
No, it was an exciting year. I had to pull up my IMDb. I just pulled up my IMDb. I'm like, what are we looking at here? What's going on?
Talk in depth about the Signs Still Delivered. All the Signs Still Delivered people will come at us on the internet.
Yeah.
So
postables will.
That was such a great thing to be a part of. That one in particular was a very heavy, that was a heavy, I guess you'd call them, I mean, were they episodes or movies? Because they're a bit longer.
This one was an episode, but yeah, it feels like a movie.
Movies, yes. That was a really raw episode to be a part of. And I think it turned out amazing. But
yeah,
that was a privilege. I think it was one of the darkest ones they'd ever done.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah. I mean, Hallmark doesn't typically dabble in rape stories and things like that. But they have such good writing on that show that they could pull it off. And good performances, but the writing, I think, is the star. And they did a really good job. And yeah, that one also has Dark of Night and Nine Lives of Christmas both have Kimberly Sestad in it.
So, yes.
Yeah.
So yeah, Kimberly Sestad is, I guess, your main leading lady.
I guess so. It's so funny.
Yeah. So what was it like in doing that Science Sealed Delivered?
Yeah, I do remember. It was great. Like my day on set wasn't too intense, but it was, I think it's a story that needs to be told. I think these things need to be talked about. And I'm really happy that Hallmark delved into that area to speak about it. Cause it's, I mean, I it's not necessarily my place to talk on these things, but there's a lot of violence that happens towards women that, that should be addressed.
Yeah. Yeah. So Nine Lives of Christmas, you were one in the firehouse. Is that correct? Or was
I played a real jerk in Nine Lives of Christmas. I basically just talked down to Brenna Ruth for a whole scene. That was me.
Yes.
I played a rich jerk. That's kind of my MO for a lot of these projects. I play the wrong boyfriend. Yeah.
I'm trying to remember. Why am I not thinking of that scene? Amber, do you remember the scene?
You were in the restaurant, right?
That's correct. That's where I was. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how I was introduced to many a household as through the sweet guy in Ring by Spring and then the jerk in Nine Lives of Christmas. Which is he?
There you go.
Which shows such range. Look.
Yeah.
Nine Lives of Christmas, you probably don't know, is my favorite Hallmark movie of all time. Not just Hallmark Christmas, but just pure Hallmark. And it's one of my favorite movies just in general. So
I hear this rallying for a sequel.
Oh, we are the rally.
We're trying. We're trying.
Hashtag 10 Lives of Christmas.
I guarantee that you could easily bend Kimberly's ear on that one. I know I'm pretty sure she'd be open.
We've already discussed it with her.
She
said she'd do it. And so we just need to, make Hallmark do it.
And then you gotta get Brandon Ruth too.
She said that Brandon would do it. She said,
"Oh, well then I'll do a jerk cameo all the way."
Yes.
But here's the thing: a true proper romantic sequel needs to have another romance that happens. Wouldn't it be amazing for Giles to find love?
Well, I mean, it'd be a great rep. A great redemption story of Giles the Jerk from Nine Lives of Christmas. If you turn to leaf, turn into that. I'm down. I'd do it. I would do it.
Okay, good. Okay,
with the help of a cat, you'll also find love. I'm determined.
The cat will warm my heart. Will warm my cold heart, and I will learn the true magic of Christmas.
You were in Love Again with Terry Polo.
Yeah, that was fun. She's really funny.
Is she? That's cool. I really like that film. It's a little bit different for Hallmark because they're already married and spent them working on their relationship. And anything with the ocean, I'm a big fan of. I love the ocean. Yeah.
That location was stunning. That location was it was so beautiful.
Where was it? Where was it filmed at? In
the southern tip of Vancouver Island in this little resort that was just, it was like a boutique resort. So every room had some different weird, like some rooms had claw foot bathtubs. Some rooms had a hot tub on the patio. It was such a gorgeous place.
That was filmed in Canada?
Yeah.
Huh.
Surprise.
Yeah, surprise. What can Canada can do everything, I guess. Heavens.
Yeah. I mean, we're a pretty country. Like, there's a lot of square footage up here to make look like different areas.
Yeah they do a good job. Okay, and then you were in Tulips in Spring with and we interviewed Fiona Gubelman. She is a delight.
Yeah, absolutely is.
She's really fun.
So were you the wrong guy in Tulips in Spring?
Of course
yeah.
Of course I was. I was the LA boy.
Yeah,
I think that was that might have been the turning point for wrong boyfriends for me or wrong guys for me, where he was really, really sweet. He wasn't like a bad guy. He was just a really sweet guy. The worlds didn't work well for them.
And I think that's when I was like, this is the guy. This is a wrong guy who needs a lady. He needs to become a right guy in the future.
Yeah.
Hey, I will start the hashtag Giles gets the girl. I'm down. Let's do it.
Well, yeah, because she comes back and he actually breaks up with her. It's not her.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot that.
Yeah, it was a brave and compassionate move.
That's right.
Self-sacrifice, like, oh, how can you beat that?
Yeah, that's right.
I think I literally had a line. I think there was, we were joking around so much in that restaurant when we shot it, but I remember her line was something along the lines of like, wait, are you breaking up with me? And mine was like, "What? Yeah, do you want me to just wait for you to do it?" We both see where this is going.
Yeah.
I thought it was a cute moment.
Yeah. That was good. Okay. You were in an Aurora Tea Garden, 3 bedrooms,
yes.
1 corpse, which that sounds very, that's quite the title.
Yes. Well, all the titles are a play on the real estate / murder thing. It's very, it's clever.
Is that true? What was your part in that one? I haven't seen that one.
Oh, take a guess. Was I a bad guy? Or, no, I was the murderer.
Oh.
Spoiler alert.
-2. Spoiler alert. I played this like art collecting murderer.
Oh. Was that fun playing a murderer?
Yeah, it's always fun. I mean, he wasn't like your typical two-dimensional bad guy. He was kind of meek and like all these things, and it was almost like spur of the moment, like freak out kills. It was a really interesting character to play.
Was this the one with the like meticulously folded scarf, right?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. He like everything. Like, and the big reveal was when she saw him. She saw him meticulously folding his napkin in exactly the same way. He was a bit OCD.
It was good. It was really good. I liked that one.
Yeah, careful.
It was a good mystery too, because you weren't quite sure. But I liked it. You did play. You played the a little bit off guy pretty well. Very well. Great work. Proud of you.
That's what I like about you. I don't like making a character too two-dimensional, because then it's no fun for the audience and no fun for me.
Yeah, and I think as a avid person who likes watching the, like, not just the main storyline, obviously you're the main storyline in this one because you were the, spoiler alert, murderer. But like when, even in Nine Lives of Christmas, I mean, I've watched it so many times, of course I watch the other people more, but I really like that you bring more to the characters than what's written for them.
It would feel like a travesty for me if I did not bring them to life. I hate two-dimensional characters. I know I keep saying the same thing over and over again, but I mean it.
Cool.
Yeah, I guess I always try to find the humanity in them. Mm-hmm. It might sound funny, but I literally look to be like, okay, so how, if I had been raised under different circumstances in a different time in a different place, how might I have actually become this person? Mm-hmm. I don't go too far into the backstory, but I try to live as they would. Mm.
Very method.
Well, no, I don't. I'm not going and doing like 7 months like Daniel Day-Lewis, like chopping meat. Just one butcher scene.
I mean, I just think it would be kind of fun to it's good to find the humanity in your characters, but I also think it would be fun to like be something so different than yourself. I mean, I'm assuming you have no murdering instincts, inclinations. And so like, it would just be fun to be like something so evil and you know, delicious.
Much fun. been so much fun. I've played a couple of sociopaths. It's really interesting. Or like even in cartoons, like getting to play like some giant monster, like that's definitely not me. Yeah, I love it. I love jumping into. It's almost like it's like trying on a slice of life that you would never do ever. And there's something educational and exciting about it.
Yeah, that's really fun. I mean, that's the whole point of acting, is to play a different part than yourself. We're in my favorite wedding.
Yes.
What was your name? Dex Richmond. That's quite a name.
Richmond. Yes.
Dex Richmond.
That sounds like the right guy. Right?
Yeah.
he chose a boating trip over.
That's right.
Over his girlfriend's best friend's wedding.
Yeah.
Yeah. For his girlfriend's best friend's wedding, yes. So that was an indication. And yes, arguably, he was in a tough position because he's trying to build his career. But I just had a vision of him standing on, like, the front of the boat, like, going off into the sunset. And it's like, bye, Dex. Like, wrong guy.
I'd watch the movie where he goes off on a boat and we just follow him. That would be funny. It would be good. The Adventures of Dex Richmond.
That is a great title. Adventures of Dex Richmond, the like semi-sociopathic businessman or something, who just goes like crazy adventures around the world.
Yeah, Dex Richmond. Yeah, I don't know. It's just amazing to me, these bosses who are making their employees go to all the, especially when they're on Christmas. We got to have this meeting on Christmas Day. Like, what? I'm just picturing.
What is that about?
Yeah, I'm just picturing the wives of these bosses being like, "What are you doing?"
Yeah, why? What? Yeah. Like, as if the year isn't stressful enough, you gotta like dip into holiday time. What are you doing?
Yeah,
I mean, and just from a business standpoint, they have to pay them more.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, they do.
Bad move.
In Muppet's Christmas Carol, Kermit makes that case. You have to waste all the.
It's true. I think that was an iconic moment in film history, is when Kermit made that speech. That changed everything.
Yeah, it is for me, for sure. he's like, and then Scrooge, of course, it's this a poor excuse for picking a man's pocket every 25th of December. That's great.
That's a great line.
Yeah, it's a great line. But as I seem to be the only one to understand that, have the whole day off.
I love the Muppets. I love Jim Henson. I love the Fraggles. I love all that stuff. Yeah.
It's so amazing. Brilliant. I would love to have been a fly on the wall when Jim Henson was pitching his ideas to whoever he first pitched it to and be like, I want to make a series of puppets. There are pig falls in love with a frog and it, you know, like got a giant bird and like, I thought he was crazy.
I'm with you. I wonder how many rejections he got, or whether the first person was a visionary. They're like, this is going places, Mr. Henson. We're gonna do this.
I would love to know too. I hope they should make a biopic some one of these days. But yeah, he was just so brilliant, so funny.
I think the story worth being told. I mean, they made the Mr. Rogers documentary, which I hear is beautiful.
Yeah, it's great. I highly recommend it. It's really good. It'll make you feel.
I've heard from many. Yeah. It's a great way to cry on an airplane in front of a bunch of strangers.
It'll make you feel like good about the world. And we definitely need as much of that right now as we can get.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're coming up on Just Speak Shores. Is that correct?
Yes, I premiered last week.
Chris. Character Giles was playing. We learned his name, and I forget.
Where was he?
He was at the very end. Remember the business guy that Mick obviously rightly brought in, and then Frakes was really mad about it?
Yeah. So this is being recorded. We're not sure when we're going to air. This was recorded on the 22nd of September. We were
just
kind
for the record, I am 100% on Team Mick for this business decision, so... Trace being mad about you existing is making me real irritated with Trace.
Well, I mean, he's much love to Trace, but maybe he needs to grow up a little bit, you know?
Well, I mean, he is literally bringing in people who this is their expertise and job. And how is that in any way a bad thing? Like, that's a good thing. So we just...
Yeah, I mean, my guy will make them money. He'll turn that whole place around. I foresee much conflict, is all I will say. And though this will probably come out after the episode's air, it will be good conflict.
Yeah. I can say right now, even before the episode's air, I'm on your side, regardless.
Hey, who doesn't love waffles? Chris Smith, yeah. The waffle guy, is going to fix everything. He's a superhero under his own right.
Yeah. I know for, like, based just on how the introduction happened, whatever the argument is, I'm pretty sure I'm going to be on Team Mick and Chris. Chris Mick. Yeah, that sounds like Christmas. It's better.
Chris Mick. Here we go. By the way, Treat's an awesome guy. I had a lot of good conversations with him. He's really down to earth and just all around cool dude.
Jesse? Let's get Metcalf.
Treat Williams. Jesse's awesome too.
Oh, but I actually spent a lot more time. I thought you said Trace, and yeah. I'm like, wow, you do get into character.
oh no, sorry, Treat. Yeah, Jesse's awesome. Also, I spent more time hanging out with Treat.
But Treat seems. I mean, he's Treat Williams for Pete's sake.
Yeah. He's Treat Williams.
Yeah.
Oh, so I knew so many people there. Like I knew, like I mean, I like oddly enough, I knew the whole sound team. Like it's such a small team.
Yeah.
And one of the days I was there, Andrew was bouncing around, and Amelia as well. I've shot a movie with her, so it's a community.
Which movie were you in with Amelia?
Sleepwalking in Suburbia.
Ooh.
Oh. That does not sound like a Hallmark title.
No, it was a darker movie with murder and mayhem. Ooh.
Oh dear.
Marco, well, Marx was in that one as well. Actually, it was kind of it was an odd little reunion.
Oh, yeah, that's cool. All right, so you said you have 5 Christmas movies coming up. I only have 4 listed. Yeah. What's the?
I know because I literally just signed on for the 5th, like this week.
What can you tell us the name?
I believe it's called Gingerbread Romance, which is Hallmark.
Gingerbread Romance? That's amazing.
I hope that's the name that they stay with, because I've shot a lot of movies where the name on the script is different than the final name.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's a bonus and sometimes not so much.
That name is so good though, so they should keep it.
It has to keep Gingerbread Romance. Yeah. It's awesome. And of course it involves some form of gingerbread without giving away any details. So.
I'm going to guess there's a baker.
I don't think there... Kind of, yes. Yeah, there'll be some baking, but I'll leave it to the mind.
That is a tease right there. That's a tease. That's how you get people to watch.
Because they announced the new lineup and then literally within 2 days there were already like 2 name changes, which is hilarious.
Yeah, it happens fast.
Yeah, so this Gingerbread Romance, this is the one with Tia Mowry in it, which is exciting. Yeah. And
Giles Panton.
Right, yeah. Right. It's a gingerbread contest and she's an architect.
So she's an architect, not a baker, but there has to be some baking involved. There we go.
The firm teams her up with Isabelle, a renowned French pastry chef, with whom Taylor instantly locks horns. Oh, this is gonna be good.
Oh yeah.
Cool.
All right, and then the other ones you are in is the Leanne Rimes movie, correct?
Yes, that one's going to be amazing. She's got some, I don't know if they've mentioned it, but I'm sure I won't get in trouble. She's got some original songs in it. It's going to be really cool.
Yeah, she's mentioned it on her Twitter, so that's exciting. And I got to interview Tyler, and he was so fun. He was probably the most chill human being I've ever interacted with in my life. Like, I felt relaxed after the interview.
I would say that's a very accurate description of Tyler. He's super chill.
Yeah. It was fun. Set to be on. It's Christmas Eve.
Yeah, that was so much fun. I mean, it's I play a father of twins, which was a whole new adventure for me. It was a kind of a goofy character. It was a lot of fun. The whole show. It was. I mean, I don't think I've been in a Hallmark project where I didn't have fun. They're all so much fun. They just bring this really great atmosphere to set.
Yeah, yeah. Did you? Was it just hard to film because it was so hot in this? In the you know, wearing your coats and stuff.
Not that one. I shot another one where I was sweating buckets, but that one was still far enough back. We shot that back in February or March. So it was close enough. Plus, I was never in any insane coats. My character was inside for most of it, so I'm just wearing fun sweaters and things like that. Yeah, I was.
So you were in, are you going to be in Christmas on Holly Lane? Is that right?
Yes.
And let's see here. What's that one about?
That one's not a Hallmark movie. That one's a bit different. That one's more of a, I mean, there's a lot of people in the world where the holidays aren't necessarily a totally joyful time.
Yeah.
That's a bit more, that one's a bit more of a painful movie, but very beautiful too. I don't know if I have the press release on that one, but it's kind of about a family that's struggling and someone who's just a family who's struggling through Christmas. And I think it's a beautiful movie. Yeah.
All right. And that one was based on IMDb, is directed by Michael Scott. And you've worked with him before, right?
On Love, I have. Man. He's a great guy. Yes. And he's led a fascinating life. That guy. He has so many interesting stories.
Cool.
Looks like we need to get Michael Scott on the podcast.
I he met JFK, like all these interesting things. He's led a very interesting life. Yeah.
Cool. Great. That one will be fun. It says three childhood friends with fond memories of Christmas at Sarah's house come together as adults to save Sarah's home in the hopes of having many more beautiful Christmases together. So that's what it says on IMDb, yeah. At least. So we'll look forward to that. Do you know what channels that's going to be on?
I don't know yet, but I also, like a fun fact about that one, I heard that they cut two different versions. One that's more of a cheery holiday film and one that's more of like a drama, like just beautiful, true life. Well, not true life, but like life story. I've never really heard of that being done before. That's kind of an interesting thing.
That's a very good idea.
Both of them will be out there. So you'll see one with a bit more struggle and one with a bit more holiday cheer.
Wouldn't that be great if there was like the Hallmark channel and there's like Hallmark Dark? Like the dark.
Hallmark after 5. After 5 p.m. Yeah,
that would be great. It would be fascinating to see like the dark direction the exact same story with exact same characters could go. That would be kind of interesting.
Hallmark HBO crossover of Aurora Tea Garden would be very, very interesting.
Hallmark BO. The H in HBO stands for Hallmark.
Exactly. Aurora Tea Garden, True Detective.
Yeah, that would be good. That's funny. So,
Game of Thrones, a love story.
Yeah. No, Game of Tulips.
Winter is coming to Hallmark.
How to train.
Winter is coming. Never been better.
Yeah. How she trained her dragons, you know? It could be really cool.
I love it. I love it. Someone has to do it. Even if it's just a spoof, someone has to do it.
Yeah. Okay, so the last...
You saw the red wedding. Well, you saw the Christmas wedding.
10 pals.
From Grey's Anatomy. What an awesome and Niall Matter. What a cool. I've known Niall for like 18 years. This is the first time we've actually worked together.
Oh, nice. Is that fun?
Yeah, it was great. The whole team. I mean, like I'm like a broken record. I keep saying the same thing, but no. Like I walked onto that set. The first day we were skating on an ice rink. Like they set up a whole awesome thing. I won't give anything away, but I'm skating on the ice, just getting familiar with the skates again. And Niall skates up to me, and it was like long lost best friends. Like, hey, buddy. It was from the first moment, we were just like two buds hanging out the whole movie. It was great. And Sarah was just, I mean, she's wonderful.
So
did you get a chance to work in any scenes with Michael Gross?
No, but we met and he's lovely. And it was an odd moment from my childhood where I was like, hey, you're the dad. And it was, I didn't say that because that would have been awkward, but I'm sure he would have appreciated it.
So is this one isn't for Hallmark, is it? Christmas Pen Pals?
No, don't believe so.
Yeah, I don't see it on the 30s on the list, at least.
It might be. So. Lifetime.
Uh-oh. No. That's okay. We're going to cover the Lifetime ones, too, so it's fine.
We'll allow it. We'll allow it.
Showdown. You guys remember in Ron Burgundy, that showdown between all the different news stations in the parking lot? I could totally see that happening between Hallmark and Lifetime, and then HGTV just shows up out of nowhere.
Yeah, it's like a battle royale. And then Up and Ion show up together because they just need to be a team.
Yeah, exactly. And then the W Network just does a flyby or something.
Yeah, Netflix comes in and is the referee.
Super Channel comes in and is like, "Stop, everybody, stop!
Stop the madness!" That's funny. So, are you a pretty good ice skater? You're able to just get right on.
Yeah. I fall. That's for sure. I mean, we weren't. It wasn't like a big Mighty Ducks scene or anything. It was pretty easy going. But yeah, I took a bunch when I was a kid. I skated a lot. So
you're telling me you and Niall Matter didn't go and say flying V and just take out everybody.
Totally. I hit the hockey puck in my left leg, and we just went for it.
Well, I mean, it's good to know who can skate, though, as we cast our imaginary.
Oh, yeah. Imaginary. Well, it should be in the special skill set of my resume, ice skating and drumming and all that stuff.
We're constantly coming up with fake Hallmark movies that we wish could come into fruition, and one of our favorites is the basically cutting edge Hallmark movie with the hockey player and the skater.
But I want it to be where she thinks she belongs with the hockey player, but she really belongs with the curling guy.
Yeah.
And I want it to be set at the Olympics, so it'll be an Olympic tie-in. Come on.
Yeah. So
I think that's great. And medal is love. So but don't be, you know what? Hallmark's actually incredibly open to pitch ideas. You've interviewed, I'm not even lying. They're very open to them. If you've ever interviewed any writers or anyone else, you could always, if you've got a hookup, they would be open to hearing an idea. I'm not even kidding you. Yeah, they're incredible that way.
We are constantly telling our friend Nina Weinman about...
Poor Nina.
You need to do this. Because she was our first interview that we ever had. She's a writer and a friend of work. And so, yeah. But so far, we have not been successful in getting it. But we've gotten little moments added in. So... we've inspired Christy Will Wolf to
put it together. Put a treatment together for your hockey idea. I love it. I don't see why they wouldn't go for that.
Yeah. All right. Well, good. Okay, so
I'll play the curler. I'll do it.
Ooh. Okay. Good. Because Madison Smith can be our hockey player, and Andrea Brooks can be the figure skater. We got it all figured out. Yeah, it's good. Okay.
And we need one, not luge, but the bobsled. We need a bobsled.
Well, the bobsled team just come down across the background.
Well, could Niall Matter be the kind of the bad guy bobsledder?
Yeah.
The wrong guy.
Bad guy bobsledder.
The bad boy bobsledder.
He'll always have that. That mask down, and he'll just flip it up when he talks, and then flip it back down.
Good. Okay, good. We got it figured out. This is good. Very productive interview.
Careers have been made.
So, all right. And Christmas Pen Pals, that just the title alone sounds super cute.
Adorable.
I'm a big fan. Okay. So, let's talk about Godwinks. Christmas.
Definitely.
We thought it was going to be last year. They announced it at like the TCAs or whatever last year, but then it ended up happening. And so now it's happened this year. This was Kathy Gifford's big kind of project based on these books. And yeah. it talk about a dream cast, you know.
Oh, wow.
You, Paul Campbell, Kimberly Susted, like, wow.
This is literally my dream cast.
It's an amazing, like, it's based on a true story. You know that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just beautiful. Oh, sorry. It's the whole thing is beautiful. The first, yeah, they put, there was clearly a lot of love put into this project.
It's based on these books about, that, you know, that are kind of like Chicken Soup for the Soul, where he writes like these little articles that happen. So I'm really looking forward to seeing it kind of play out, and it looks really like it's gonna be really sweet.
Yeah, and it's without giving too much away, they give a lot of space to flesh everyone out, and it's a really I don't know, it's a really beautiful movie, but there's no I can't say anymore, but yeah, definitely it's
cool.
It's a good one.
So it was fun being with all those people on set. It seems like it would just be the funnest group. Yeah.
Oh yeah. But I mean, I've known Paul for years also, and I've known Kimberly, so that was great. And then Kathy Lee was just, she's Kathy Lee. She she is such a presence. She took that set over in the best way possible. She's amazing.
Cool. Yeah.
She was always. There's a couple scenes I shot with her where she was always throwing little extra things my way and keep me on my toes while we were shooting. She's a wild card the best way possible.
Yeah. Now that's one that you're probably really, it was filmed in July, right? It was super
hot. That was a hot one. Yeah. That was a warm one for sure. Yeah.
Cool. Well, so we like to end our interviews doing some silly questions. We call the Team Beat questions because Amber got them from Team Beat, Set Magazine. And so you'll indulge us.
From the 90s.
Teen Beat, like Teen Vogue magazine?
Like yeah, Teen Beat. It is no longer in print. And
oh, okay.
It's, you know, they would have back in the day asked Jonathan Taylor Thomas these questions.
Yeah. So. Oh, well, then I'm honored. I am honored. Yeah.
It's pretty exciting.
Cool time all the way.
All right. And so the first question is, what is the best ice cream flavor?
Oh, chocolate chip mint. Don't even, I'll fight you.
Okay. I'm not going to fight you. You can have it. All right. And then what is your favorite color?
Oh, kind of like Nebula Blue.
Ooh.
Yeah, like I love, like if you're looking in outer space, like from a space picture, and you see like a blue nebula, like that kind of color.
Mm, very, very out of this world answer. This question back in the day was, what CD is in your CD player right now? But I've changed it to, what music are you listening to right now?
Literally, on repeat, I've been listening to Everything Is All Right by the Glorious Sons. I don't know what it is. It's a surprisingly deep song. I think it's really cool. I like it.
I'm going to have to add that to my playlist because I don't know it, but I trust your opinions. So far you've had good opinions about colors and ice cream.
Well, there we go.
All right. And then the next question is, what is your go-to date night food?
Oh, go-to date night food. I used to love the dessert platter of chocolate and berries and like a really nice, almost sweet cheese with port. I loved doing that.
What's your go-to date night activity?
I'm a sucker for movie night. I love going to the movies, like dinner and a movie. I'm a simple guy. I like that. Go and get some calamari and a steak and then go watch a movie.
What's the best kind of movie to watch, you think, on a date?
Oh, well, it really depends. Do you want the jump scare? Do you want to go watch a horror movie and then have someone grabbing your arm? Do you want to watch a comedy and like laugh your butt off and like actually see what they're laughing at to like see if you can be relaxed around them or not.
Yeah. I, cause people will think, oh, you want to go to a romance. I don't know if that's necessarily true. It depends on what number of dates it is. Cause
yeah. I think first date watch The Notebook might be a bad idea.
Yes. I think a scary movie is perfect for.
See, I disagree because one time a guy took me to a scary movie and like I almost accidentally killed him because I'm not good in scary movies.
Well, like, you wouldn't want anything
like, during the movie. Like my limbs were flailing, and I think I like almost.
Oh, maybe more of a thriller than like
thriller.
Like
that would be better.
Blair Witch Project. The Blair Witch Project. Man, I guess I'm dating myself with that one. Whatever one. Paranormal Activity or something might not be a good first date movie. Yeah,
that's funny. All right, cool.
All right, and then sorry, the next question is. Dogs or cats?
Dogs. Cats okay. are cool, but I love dogs.
Okay, that's fine. Everyone can have their own opinions. And then beaches or mountains?
Oh, wow. Might sound funny, but a mountain with no snow on it. I love that a lot. Mm-hmm. Like watching a sunset from up higher up on a mountain.
Yeah.
Like I think that's amazing.
I get that. I feel that. Good answer.
But I don't want to be chilly. I don't want to be too cold up there. The part of me that loves beaches is still at play.
All right. And then the next question is suit and tie or sweats?
Oh, man. I mean, I if I'm going out, I'm wearing a suit and tie. That would be fun to wear sweats from time to time. I love suit and ties. I'm in those all the time for especially movies. But literally right now, I am wearing sweatpants. I kid you not.
Awesome. Okay. And then your favorite holiday to celebrate?
Oh, Christmas. Oh, man. Yeah. I love it. Like it, I anytime there's a Santa on set, I will still get a picture with him. I don't care. I will wait in line. I love Christmas. So I distinctly remember being a kid and hearing a thump on my roof, and I was like, Santa!
Christmas. You almost caught him. You almost caught Santa.
I was going to say.
Well, I didn't put a strap up. I'd take my presents away if I went out.
Does being in 5 Christmas movies make you like more excited to kind of pump you up, or does it make you kind of I'm burnt out, I'm done with Christmas?
No way, even more excited. It's kind of, yes. Such a wild time of year. I'll be like, hey, there's me on TV or whatever. Oh. I'm excited for that whole time period. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. That's what we like to hear.
Okay, and then the last question is the most difficult one, especially for people from Canada, because they don't have the Hallmark Channel. The last question is favorite Hallmark movie.
3 Bedrooms, 1 Corpse, just for a whole bunch of reasons. A whole bunch of reasons.
Cool.
Yeah.
I think you're the first person to pick one of the mystery movies, so I'm pretty proud of you.
Yeah. Well, I'm picking it not just for the enjoyment of watching it, but the enjoyment of working on it as well. There's a whole ton of things tied up.
Yeah. Cool. Great. That's fun. All right. Well, you passed the test.
You did. You passed the test. We'll let you keep being in Hallmark movies.
Because at the end of the day, I know that the two big honchos behind everything are you guys. I knew
That's right. Well, thank you so much for coming on and talking with us. We had a blast talking with you. And we're so excited to see all of your upcoming projects. It's going to be really fun.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on.
So if people want to find you on social media or whatever, how can they follow you?
Yeah. On Twitter, I am @G_Panton. On Instagram, I'm Giles Panton. That is I.
I'll install that in the description section so people can check that out. And Amber, where can people find you?
As always, I'm @AmberBrainwaves on Twitter, and that's it.
Great. And you can follow me at Rachel's Reviews on iTunes and on YouTube. And make sure you're following the podcast, Hallmarkies Pod, Instagram, Twitter. Put in your reviews on iTunes. It really helps us. And thank you so much, everybody. And we will We'll talk to you soon. So thanks. Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.